All right. Well, good morning, Central. It's good to see you today, and what a joy and privilege it already has been to join our hearts and our spirits together and lift our voices. There's just something strong and gives strength and hope and excitement as we together do that to declare who God is. And as it's already been stated, certainly last weekend was a very, very significant weekend, an important weekend in the life of this church family and for this community, and certainly for the family of the Chisholms. And Brenda and I certainly celebrate with you all and rejoice with you guys in God's leadership and guidance as you have affirmed and called your new pastor. But he won't be here for a few more weeks, which means you have to endure me for a few more weeks. Well, it seemed in my heart and my spirit as I thought about, obviously where Central is going and decisions that have been made and things that are taking place. Certainly, it got me thinking about just the calling upon an individual's life, those that are called into the ministry to serve churches and God's people and lead people in the ways of the Lord, and certainly to follow His will and walking in obedience. And so, church, frankly, over the next probably several weeks, I will focus on things that have to do with the calling in a person's life, beginning with the calling of a pastor or staff member, folks that serve in the ministry. Certainly that does not diminish or even negate the calling of folks who call lay folks in the church that serve in various capacities and whether it be in the area of worship or Christian education, in teaching Sunday school, in our whether it be adults or students, whether it be children, whatever it is, called to serve the Lord and following through in God's leadership in their lives. But I wanted to start this morning with several years ago, Tom Rainer, who is one of us, and when I say one of us, that means he's Southern Baptist. Is an author, speaker, I believe has pastored some, certainly a leadership guy, but he did a survey which was and revolved around the position of elder or pastor. It says, why do you love your pastor? And so there were seven responses that came in the most frequency. They showed up most of the time. And as I read these, in the order that I read them, the first would obviously be the one that got the most, or that was the most thing that was communicated. But the question was, why do you love your pastor? And number one was this: our pastor loves us and loves others. And certainly, I was here just a little bit of last weekend, on that very important weekend, was here Sunday afternoon into Sunday evening, and just what a the sense I got, what a precious family Dr. Chisholm and his wife Holly and their two children Hannah and Corbin, just what precious folks they seem to be, and I know that you already love them and they already love you, and they will love this community. And so that was really kind of what was important to folks. They see the love of their pastor, and that overflows to them and to their community and others. Second was, our pastor preaches the word and spends time studying the word. Folks are grateful for those that impart and spend time in the word and then share what God has laid upon their heart and do that through their preaching and teaching ministries. And no doubt, I know Dr. Chisholm will do that. Thirdly was, our pastor demonstrates love for his spouse and his children. I don't know if it was Brother Don Worley, I don't know if it was you or somebody else on the search committee, the search team, but it pleased me as I heard stated from this platform last Sunday afternoon that Clayton has his responsibilities and sees those things. Obviously, first and foremost, it is the Lord himself. But then second, it's his family. And then second, it's his church family. And so people like to see the pastor have a great priority of family demonstrated day after day and week after week as he leads the church. Fourthly, our pastor has a servant's heart. And no doubt that is such a good quality to have, because certainly we know that the Lord Jesus himself, when you look at his earthly ministry and you study his life, Jesus was a servant leader. And so, you know, church members take notice of the servant leadership and attitude of their pastor. Fifthly, our pastor is humble and transparent. And I certainly saw some of that transparency last Sunday. I don't know if you were here. I thought it was hilarious. But he walks up here and gets up on the stage, and the first thing he said was, Holly said to me, make sure that your zipper is up. And that's transparent, folks. That's pretty transparent. So I thought that was great. But to have that humility and that transparency, and no doubt you'll see that come out, I'm sure, as you get to know him and he gets to know you, and he gives forth the transparency of the qualities of Christ in his life and what God continues to do and develop in him. Sixthly, our pastor shares Christ with others, that evangelistic lifestyle, and certainly that which is that does not go unnoticed by church members. And then finally, seventhly, our pastor is passionate about ministry. That word passion and passionate coming up so many times in different ways and in different contexts. And certainly those things are very, very important. But this morning in our time left together, there were several things that I looked at this week. One of those being in the fact that the role of a pastor, the responsibility of pastor, the position of pastor, elder, leader, is that which happens in a person's life, and they are called of God to do that. And we see that in the 78th Psalm. There is that reminder to us that even in the life of David, it says there in verse 70 that he chose David, his servant. And he took him from the sheep pens, from tending the sheep. He brought him to be shepherd, to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, and with skillful hands he led them. And to me, church, that just reaffirms and reminds that God chooses his people. God chooses his leaders. God chose Dr. Chisholm to be your next senior pastor, chosen by God. But praise be to God, a group of folks that God brought together, that search team, that search committee, on their knees before the Lord, pleading with the Lord, asking the Lord always, God, we want your heart, we want your will, we want your desire. And then you, as a church family, as a body of believers that are Central Baptist Church, not only chosen by God, recognized by that search team, that search committee, but as of and what took place last late Sunday afternoon, affirmed and confirmed by the people. And so what a joy and what a privilege and what a great reminder for us. God chooses his leaders. But in those leaders have the responsibility, they have the calling upon their life to encourage people and challenge people. And we'll look at this section of Scripture in just a moment. It's from really the life of Paul's calling upon his life. And Paul said, I've I'm compelled by the love of Christ, and part of my heart's desire is to present everyone mature in Christ. And so no doubt that will be your pastor's heart and life, but to remind folks. And again, what a great time of worship this morning and being reminded of this God who is the way maker, the miracle worker, who is light in the midst of darkness, and that God is working and that God does things. But the reminder that I saw this week in Psalm 28, verses 8 and 9, that the Lord is the strength of His people. It's the Lord. Dr. Chisholm said last Sunday afternoon, I was so pleased to hear him say this, and some folks might have missed it, but church, it's not a minor thing, it's the thing. He said, you know what, when I come and I come here to be your pastor, and I want us never to ever forget that the Lord Jesus Christ, this is His church. And so when I heard that, I was like, okay, that's awesome. That's good stuff. That's the kind of thing that you want to hear. And I have no doubt that His preaching and His teaching and His ministry and the way He lives His life and the way He goes about doing those things is that it will declare that the Lord is the strength of His people. He is a fortress of salvation for His anointed one. And then there is the prayer in verse 9, save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. It's the Hebrew word for carry. It's the word nasa. It means simply this, church. It has the idea of sustaining and carrying, bearing up, lifting up, even taking someone away. And how many times, church, have we experienced that spiritually in our life, where God is faithful, and the goodness of God, and the mercy of God, and the strength of God. God has borne us up. He has carried us. He has sustained us. He has given us what we need by His grace in times to endure. It would not probably go unnoticed if we knew every detail of everyone's life here. There is probably some folks here who you are in the midst of enduring. And can I remind you today through Scripture that God is your shepherd and He sustains you and He carries you and He helps you to endure. That's the kind of God that we have. That's the kind of God that we want to share with others, that we want to communicate to people. There were some great examples being reminded of that. Both of these coming from the book of Deuteronomy. One that comes literally from the world of nature and God's creation. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11, it says, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them, and there's that word, and carries them aloft. Now, eagles aren't the only bird. There's others that do this. I believe storks even do this. But there are other birds that as they are stirring up the nest, as they are encouraging the young to leave the nest and learn to fly and go out there into that cold, cruel, mean world, and they've got to learn how to fly. As they're doing that, they begin to fatigue and they begin to have difficulty and they begin to have problems. But they push them out there and they challenge them to do that because they need to use those wings. Those muscles need to develop. But as they begin to falter, literally that adult bird will come up from a place of hovering to underneath that young, and that young will rest upon them and they will carry them. They will sustain them. They will endure them back to the nest for a time of rest, a time of relaxation. Maybe there's some feeding that takes place, but off into that world again to learn to fly. And I thought about that, church, and I thought about how many times the Lord in your life and in mine and others that we know, God has sustained us and carried us. And when we were fatigued with all of the stresses and pressures of life, it was God's word. Maybe from a pastor, from a Sunday school teacher, maybe from some time spent in prayer and meditation before the Lord, maybe even in the dark hours in the middle of the night, that sustaining, carrying, uplifting word came to your heart and into my heart. Another great example was from that same book in Deuteronomy chapter 1, speaking of God's carrying his people. It says in verse 29, chapter 1 from the book of Deuteronomy, "Then I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them." Speaking of those that God was leading them into the land and the people that they would encounter, "Don't be afraid of them, for the Lord your God who is going before you, he's that way maker. He will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt and before your very eyes and in the wilderness. Then you saw how the Lord carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place." God's carrying. God calls a person to that place of ministry to share with people who encounter a world that is dead set against them living for Christ. You do know that, right, church? We battle with principalities. We battle against demons. We battle against that which is anything from calling us to live a life of righteousness and obedience and joy in the Lord, to simply living a life that is sin-filled, set upon our own agenda, our own life, our own way of doing things. But Paul said in his calling and in his life as a spiritual leader, a spiritual catalyst, in Colossians chapter 1, we see a part of the declaration of Paul's ministry. He says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, "For he is the one that we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. And to this energy, I will strenuously contend with all the energy that Christ so powerfully works in me." There will be times, church, no doubt, you get tired, you get worn down, you get stressed out. How many of you on Valentine's, my wife showed me this great Valentine's little thing. If you missed it, it was Friday, by the way. But it was these two people. They're, they've moved on a little bit in life. But the husband calls out to his wife as he is laid out horizontal on the couch there. He says, "Hey, by the way, happy Valentine's Day." And the wife responds on the other part of the couch, laid out horizontally as well. She goes, "Yeah, you too." And somebody responded and said, "This was my husband and I on Valentine's Day." That's life, isn't it, church? I mean, sometimes we are just worn out. And sometimes your pastor will be worn out, just like you're worn out. You're coming off a week of the kids, the grandkids, the boss, the pressures, the bills, the struggles, and everything in between. But Paul said that it's the love of Christ that compels me. It's the love of Christ that will compel Dr. Clayton Chisholm in times when he's struggling, in times when he's tired, to be just like Paul in that he says, "We want to present everyone fully mature in Christ." Can I beg and plead and ask you, church, as Central Baptist, don't fight him on that. Get in agreement with him on that. because that will be his heart for you. He wants you to grow in Christ. So when the stresses and the pressures and the struggles and when everything in this life is bearing down upon you, you will walk fully mature in Christ. And when you gather as a people once again and declare who God is, you will be reminded, Lord, my life this week, there was a lot of darkness, but you are the light. Lord, there was a way that I was looking for that I couldn't find, but I was reminded once again when I came to church that it's not so much about me making my own way, but it's recognizing that you are the way and you will be faithful. That you're the miracle worker. And that, Lord, maybe sometimes this week I didn't keep my promises, but you know, my God, you never break your promise to me. And church, that will mean everything as your new pastor encourages you and leads you and challenges you. Understand that the same calling that was upon Paul's life is the same calling upon his life. I loved what Noah said just a few moments ago. It's probably a whole lot better than this sermon. But he challenged us men in our homes to lead our homes and love our wives and lead our children. And the moms and the grandmothers and grandfathers to do the same thing, to be those examples. Because his heart's desire will be to present you, to present everyone fully mature in Christ. And it will powerfully work in his life to do so. Church, don't fight him on that. Because a pastor with God's help and by God's Spirit and in humility and love, ultimately he wants to bring people to their fullest potential in knowing and doing the will of God for his glory. Because it's not about the world's resources. You won't be pointed that direction. You won't be pointed to the social sciences or some kind of thing that brings about a deeper enlightenment or that which is, if you'll go out and experience a variety of life's experiences, that will help round you and that will help ground you. No, it's not those things. It will be that you will be pointed to consistently and constantly to God himself. And God's resources. Because church, it's about what God says and what God can do. It's not about so much about what you and I can do, but it's about what God says and what God can do. And by the way, what God's doing, and also another, by the way, what God will do. And so you will be pointed to God consistently. And you will be challenged, no doubt, as the people of God, to live a Spirit-filled life. Because the Scripture simply says it this way, that really no one is capable, no one can. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. You cannot help to justify yourself before God by somehow performing every bit of the law's demands. For indeed, it is the straight edge of the law that shows us how crooked we are. It shows us how rebellious we are. It shows us how sinful we are. We cannot help to somehow justify ourselves. That's why you will be challenged, no doubt, to live Spirit-filled lives versus sin-controlled lives. That's why it's so important, church, that the ministry of preaching and teaching never forget about the righteousness and holiness and beauty and mercy and forgiveness that is found in God, the one true God, the God who sent his Son for the remission of sins, so that a person would repent of those sins and turn to God, so that why somehow they can now do this or don't do that, or some keep some rules and regulations. No, it's being born and transformed and changed from within to live for the glory of God by His grace, that the sins of the mind, the sins of emotions and the mouth and the sins of behavior would no longer be that way of life, but it would be a spirit-filled mind and a spirit-filled emotions with a spirit-filled mouth, walking and living and behaving in spirit-filled ways. Because living a spirit-filled life is critical. And God will bear up and He will sustain and He will challenge and He will lead and He will guide and direct, and do that through His Word, but also by the leadership that He has chosen for you. And in doing so, church, remember this. Part of the calling for us as the church, as we walk in obedience to the Lord, is to remember that we do all those things because we are being sent. We are to go. We say week after week here at Central that we love God and we love people and we want to see disciples made. And that's where it begins, this sending stuff, this going stuff, this being on mission, is that first and foremost, we love God and we love people and we love His Word, and we realize that His Word calls us to obedience. It calls us to fulfilling the Great Commission. And so we will be sent and we will go. And a lot of that intensity comes from, just as Paul said, it's the love of Christ that compels me. The motive of our sacrifice, the motive of our sending, the motive of our going, it must be the love of God. And in so we will have the measure of the sacrifice and the willingness of us to go. Paul said in his ministry, in his letter to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it speaks of that which moves him and compels him, which is the love of Christ. But he says, I now realize we don't live unto ourselves, but we live unto Him. The sacrifice and the willingness of Paul to go and to be everything was for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the calling upon his life. That was the measure of his sacrifice and the willingness of his sacrifice to go. But also, finally, church, it is that mission. It is that mission to go. I love what J.D. Greer says, that without the mission, a church is not a church. It's simply just a group of disobedient Christians who are hanging out. We need that mission, church. We need that mission to remind us of the goodness and grace of God and everything that He has done in us. And in sending and being sent forth and going, we are simply declaring what God has done. That the gospel is an announcement about Christ's finished work. We declare what Christ has done. We declare who He is. We can declare all those things that are attached to His miraculous birth and His death, burial, and resurrection. But it is the complete and finished work of Christ that has moved us and compelled us, because God first loved us. And in doing so, we recognize, as Paul did, that I've been given this ministry of reconciliation. You say, Pastor Brian, no, that'll be for Clayton Chisholm. That'll be for his family. That'll be for, you know, maybe the deacons and the Sunday school teachers. I don't have this ministry of reconciliation. Oh, yes, you do. If you are part of the body of Christ and you are being challenged and you're being told to go and you're being obedient to the Great Commission, You have a ministry of reconciliation, because the last time that I checked, God absolutely loves using anybody's. He uses anybody. Oh, no. Pastor Brian, you know. You don't know my background. You don't, there's no way. I kind of, you know, move in and move out of the shadows. There's no way God can use me. Well, then you need to get in your word. And you need to study and see some of the lives that God used for his kingdom and his glory. He uses anybody's. And so when the intensity comes to be sent forth and to go, we go with the message of what God has done. And you will be soaked in it. Soaked and challenged and reminded, first and foremost, of who God is. We need that. We need to be reminded of who he is and how faithful he has been and how good he has been to us. And you will be reminded in tough times and difficult times, maybe even where you are right now. Church, there are times that I know when it didn't seem like God was carrying me. He was. Because that's what he does. And that's who he is. And he carries you and he carries me and he carries our friends, our colleagues, those we go to school with, those we work with. He'll carry our next door neighbors. And church, all we have to do, I saw recently this week, a guy back in the late 50s wrote a thing. It was a little booklet entitled, Soul Winning Made Easy. I thought, are you kidding? But the reality is, church, and I know you've heard this before, aren't you glad that the results, it's really not on us? It's the Lord. It's not on us. What we do is simply love God and love people, and we go and we declare the finished work of Christ. And in doing so, we pray. We pray for husbands and wives, neighbors. We pray for people in our community. We pray for our bosses. We pray for people that are against us and not for us. And we share and simply declare the finished work of Christ. And we live this life that matches what we say we declare and what we believe in. That we don't live sin-filled lives anymore, but we live spirit-filled lives. Submissive to, obedient to, humble before the Lord, and we pray. We pray that God will give the grace gifts and his gifts of repentance, the eyes, the heart, the spirit to see in that person's life their desperate, desperate need. Church, it may not be popular. And in some circles, and in some ways, and in some contexts, it can even get volatile. It can even get mean. But the answer is still the same. The forgiveness of sins and repentance of those sins against a holy God and calling out for mercy is that which saves a person and bursts them forth and transforms them to new life in Christ. And so with God's Spirit and God's courage and work in our hearts and lives, encouraged by a pastor leader that cheers us on, and gives us the example himself, we will go forward, not backward. we will go forward in the victory that is in Christ. The world says the victory is in your next conquest. The world says the next victory, the next experience, the next mountaintop, the next thing where you show that you are in control. But church, the church of the living God knows that there is only one that is in control, and it's God Himself. Praise be to God. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. Let's pray. Father, it is a time of rejoicing and excitement. And we thank you for your leadership and faithfulness. This church looks forward to their next pastor leader. And I know these folks join with me in this moment. We pray for Clayton. We pray for Holly, that you would give them wisdom. You would sustain them. You would carry them through this time as you carry them to this church and to this community. If there's anything, Lord, that we've been reminded of here today, is that you chose him. And he has been affirmed and been recognized by this local body. God, I pray for his ministry. I pray that it would have that which bears much spiritual fruit. I pray that it would look and feel and be seen with all kinds of kingdom characteristics attached to it. And Lord, as this church awaits, Father, you would continue to do what you are doing in our hearts and our lives, because there's a calling upon each of us to walk in the joy of our salvation and obedience to you in total humility as we surrender. God, we want to lead our families well. We want to be recognized as leaders with a servant leadership that is willing to sacrifice and willing to love and willing to forgive and willing to show forth compassion. And when there's something that might cry out for justice and judgment, that instead we would be an example of mercy and of peace. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Christ's name.